Thanks for listening to another episode of How Good Is Rugby League?
We're stoked to be back for season 5, and this year we're coming back bigger and better than ever.
That's right, Michael. You've been busy over the off-season. We're now on Instagram, X, YouTube, and TikTok. And of course, you can listen to us on all podcasting platforms.
Now it's time for another episode of How Good Is Rugby League? Hello and welcome to another edition of How Good Is Rugby League? My name is Michael Corbin, and joining me, as he always does, Emmanuel Penglis. Emmanuel, how are you?
Michael, I am, as a South supporter, sleeping well for the first time in weeks. Since that result last Friday night, the Roosters are out. We can rest easy. How are you?
Worried that we're inching closer to that 21.
Well, that's it. That's it. 100% my fear. How are you going?
Good, good. Look, Friday night's loss was not fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't go into the match feeling too much pressure. I didn't have too much expectation. And, you know, we played quite, it was a different game of football to the Saturday game.
Yeah.
It was very gritty, more focused on defense. Just a lot of just big effort plays from both teams. But, you know, as a season, if you look at it from the start of a season, it's a failure. If you look at it from where we were probably halfway through the season, it's okay. If you look at it from where we were right after Origin finished, it's a miracle we got to where we were.
Yeah.
And look, I think it will help us going into next year. And yeah, I think there's some good signs. I think there's some, like, Brandon Smith came along, Sam Walker, 2 weeks in a row hit a field goal to put us into the lead with less than 10 minutes left. Mm. That's players, a lot of players can't do that.
Yeah.
Right. And he's doing that at age 21. It's just like his future is so bright. You've got Lenu and Dom Young coming in. I think Sandon Smith showed a lot. Like, he was exceptional for us coming off the bench, and will probably replace Drew Hutchison as that utility player.
I was really impressed with, in those last few weeks, just attitude.
It's grit.
Defense.
It's just
defense and you know, sometimes clubs go through things that really shape them. And for me, that carnage of the end of the 2020 season.
All the injuries.
Or the 2021, 2020. They're just all the injuries, but the Roosters somehow finished in the bottom of the top four. And then I think they finished fourth.
They finished fourth, yes.
And then even the following year, you know, more injuries and just there is a resilience there, which I hate to admire. But you never see a capitulation, or rarely, so rarely do you see a capitulation from the Roosters that you see in so many other clubs. Like, you know, South certainly have it in them at points, and Parramatta have it in them, and Cronulla have it in them, but club like Melbourne, it is so rare, and the Roosters, they really are in that category. And you know, I think the criticism of them underperforming this year, given the strike power and the star power and the tickets that they had on themselves at the start of the year, I think they are quite valid criticisms.
I agree.
But I don't think you can ever take away that this is a team that has a lot of grit and has a really good attitude and is very proud of the jersey they're wearing. And as much as I think there is so much spin in Robbo constantly talking about the Rooster way, I think that that is probably more the Rooster way than anything, because so often that you see these performances and sometimes you see it from other clubs and you think, how did they do that? Or what an incredible effort. But this team actually does it quite constantly. And I think the most impressive thing is that this is a team now that doesn't have someone like Kronk that came from a system that thrives on it, but that is stuck with the Roosters. And I think Tedesco probably deserves a lot of credit for that, because I think he's someone that's sort of known for his, you know, movement on and off the ball and support play. But I think that kind of, he has really ensured that the Roosters play up to a certain standard as the captain, despite the fact that his performances probably haven't been what they were.
Yeah, and like you mentioned that, you know, how we play week in, week out. We never gave up in any contest this year. Our attack struggled. Yes, it was bad for a lot of the year, but our defense wasn't. And defense is an attitude. Defense is an attitude thing. And we constantly had one of the better defenses throughout the year. And that showed over the last 2 months. I think Tedesco, yes, again, struggled in attack, but what he brings in defense is so strong. And this is the reason why when you were questioning Robbo at the start, like during that purple patch at the middle of the season, I was just like, no, because I like the team's trying.
Yeah.
And yes, it might not be working, but it's not like they're giving up. And we've seen so many teams this year just give up in contests.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen. And that's why I trust him as a coach. And like the fundamentals are there. And like at some point, we all thought some point the attack might click. It didn't quite get there, but then also injuries happened.
Yeah.
Right. So like, you know, we play this week with both our no wingers or centers. Right. And every time one of those balls went up against Melbourne, those high balls went up against Melbourne, I would normally feel secure knowing that there's Tupu or Suoli'i on either side.
Mm.
This week, I just had no faith.
Yeah.
That last kick, I was like, oh no. Like it went up and I'm like, this could lead to a try the moment it went up, because I just didn't trust the people that were out there at that point. And that's, you know, you're testing your depth at that point. But I thought it was a good season. I thought we were on top for a lot of that game. I think the momentum shifted, but I thought we were on top for a lot of that game. And against a Melbourne side in Melbourne,
the Roosters had no business to be in that position. Like, really, given the season they've had and the players that were out for that game and the way they'd come into the finals, obviously their last 6 weeks were good. But really, this was a Melbourne side that were top four most of the year. And that, you know, down in Melbourne, I know you guys have a good record, but really, given the talent that was missing from the Roosters, it had no right to come down to that kick anyway.
Yeah. And that's why, like, I'm happy with that performance. The season, look, I wanted to win. But even at the start of the season, I thought it would take time. I wasn't 100% sure on whether we win or not. I always thought it would be Panthers this year. Mm. You know, I've stuck with that the whole way. So, yeah, look, I think there's a lot to look forward to next season. As long as they don't take this patch that we had at the back end of the season where we looked good as a, okay, we're fine. There is things to work on, but we're heading in the right direction heading into next season.
Yeah.
I think that's, that's where I trust Robbo to, and he said it during the press conference at the end. This season wasn't a success, and there is things to work on, and we know what we need to work on. And that gives me all the hope in the world. Even the Ashley Klein decision, like the howler that he had, the knock on, right? Robbo in the press conference said, yeah, it's a knock on. Everyone saw it was a knock on, but we need to defend that try.
Yeah.
That is 100% correct. I was angry that like they scored. They got a penalty, they scored straight away, right? But we should have stopped the try. That it's as simple as that.
That was actually refreshing from Robbo, who is probably not always that.
I think he's pretty accountable for, and all season he is the one who's taken the blame for this.
Mm. Yeah, fair.
He has had shots at refs.
Yeah.
But most of them are when it's high shots against players who have injuries that have happened to our players.
Yeah.
And rather than like errors by the ref, not like he's more concerned with the safety of the players rather than a refereeing decision.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I was just genuinely impressed. I think Melbourne probably has a lot to answer for coming out of that game. We'll get to this. We'll get to Melbourne. The other game was the Warriors and the Knights on Saturday afternoon. Loved it. Loved every. I couldn't believe it was that much of a blowout. Newcastle supporters have gone quiet, thank God. The crowd was phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. Just you could hear the excitement, you could see the atmosphere, and I was so happy for them. I was so happy for them after what they did for the game and how they had kept the game going during COVID. And I still think that we haven't done enough for New Zealand and for the Warriors to reciprocate what they did for us. I still think they should have a whole season at home. But I love that, and I love that they got to experience that home final win.
Yeah.
It was great for them. Outstanding. I thought there were patches. I actually thought they nearly blew it at one point because it just Newcastle sort of were coming back, and I thought, well, what's going on here? But their forwards, Tohu Harris, massive game. He had a massive game. He's been outstanding for them this year.
All year he has been. He is my most underrated player in all of rugby league.
Yeah, and just, you know, the meters they were making and just charging up. And Newcastle, appreciate that, had that massive game the week before against Canberra, but they were just shot to bits.
I think that was it. It's the 6-day turnaround. You played 90 minutes against Canberra, and then you have to go. Like, you've gone from the best crowd for you in the Hunter region, just showing up for Newcastle, to being complete, like, no one in the crowd supporting you in New Zealand. Yeah. Like, that is the challenge of finals football. And I think, like, you know, New Zealand, I think the Knights well exceeded their expectations this year. Mm. They went on that 10-game run that no one thought they would do. They're, like, before that, even like games one or two of that run, there was questions on Adam O'Brien's coaching position.
Yeah, there were rumors that someone else had been offered the job.
Yeah. Now he's obviously secured his spot for next season and going forward. But this team has shown a lot of promise. I think Jackson Hastings obviously is a big loss for them this game as well. Like, his leadership would have helped them a lot, especially in that first 15 minutes when on the other side, Sean Johnson was just absolutely dominating them. But, you know, they're losing a couple of players, which is tough. But that Hunter region is known for just producing rugby league players.
Mm.
So, like, let's hope that they've got some guys coming through. But they're losing Dom Young. They're losing Lachie Fitzgibbon. They are getting back Jalen Brayley.
Yeah.
Phoenix Crossland is now a genuine starting hooker in the NRL.
Ponga is key for them. He is Trbojevic like at Manly.
Of course.
And he really just needs a consistent season like what he produced this year, because otherwise we're going to be talking about Newcastle 2023 like Manly 2021.
Yeah.
Tohu Harris, 228 metres.
And 38 tackles.
And 38 tackles. And Nickel Clockstar, 299 metres. Just the energy from the Warriors, I thought it was really good. As I said, just really thrilled that they got to experience that. Different game this week against the Broncos, and we'll go to that shortly.
Yeah.
But, of course...
Newcastle, I think, good signs heading forward. It all rests on Ponga, though.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, like, he is the linchpin to their success, and he has, once they got rid of the fullback, the 5-8 experiment. He went to back to fullback. Their team changed completely.
Yeah.
They've now got, you know, they've got Jack Cogger coming in as well next year. So there's going to be a fight for that number 6 position with Tyson Gamble.
Great pickup.
Good pickup. Really good pickup. And, you know, who's been in a really strong system. Bradman Best, Dane Gagai. Excellent back line. That forward pack needs a little bit of work, but let's see. Adam Elliott's going to hopefully be healthy for a lot of next season as well.
Yeah. Okay, so obviously we've got the two games coming up this weekend, and then we roll into grand final week. Grand final week, of course, always kicks off, or in recent years, always kicked off with the Dally M's.
Yep.
So we're going to do our Dally M's now.
Yep.
Because
we're probably not going to record before it's announced.
Exactly.
Yeah. So fullback of the year. Reece Walsh and Scott Drinkwater out of contention.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one real choice for me.
I had it.
It's not James Tedesco. No. It's Caelan Ponga.
It's not Latrell Mitchell either.
No, definitely not. It's Caelan Ponga.
Mm.
I think that last, you know, that 10-game streak, he would have racked up a lot of points. So he will probably more than likely get fullback of the year.
I didn't have him.
Who'd you have?
Dylan Edwards.
Okay.
Because Ponga didn't play much all the year at fullback.
I didn't think Edwards had that great a year. He was excellent to start the year, and then it kind of just...
I agree, you're right, but I do wonder about, you know, because
Like, his name hasn't been mentioned a lot in the last 10 weeks.
It hasn't, but I feel like I can't remember where Ponga was at the start of the year.
Yeah.
But anyway.
He was injured for a little bit. But I just think that, you know, we've seen players go on these runs where you get a lot of wins in a row and they're the fulcrum of it. And
yeah,
they just get the points.
No, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay.
My wingers.
Mm.
Now, this is the skill positions are difficult. Your wingers, your centers, your second rows, your locks.
I find it hard to pick two.
Because they're also like, well, a winger can get 6 points one game. But like my two best wingers this year have been Brian To'o,
mm-hmm.
who he is the best winger in the competition.
Yeah.
And Dallin Mutenning is Zalesniak.
Yeah. I agree with To'o. We've spoken about this on the last, 3 years worth of podcasts. He is an outstanding winger. He is an incredible winger. Is he picking up 3, 2, 1 point?
No, and this is why I hate this system, right? Because he doesn't. Because he has the exact same game every week. He gets 230 meters. He will likely get a try, and he will get a lot of tackle breaks.
Yeah. So is he just basically in your team of the year?
Yes.
But might not win winger of the year?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yes. I agree with both of those then.
Yes.
I think both have been absolutely outstanding for their clubs. Yeah. Tenny Zalesniak has been awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
And To'o, but I you just don't know. Like, To'o, yeah, outstanding, but in a team of champions.
Yeah. So, like, other players who, like, Dom Young might be a shoo-in because he scored, I think he led the league in try scoring this year, had some big finishes at the end of the year. Selwyn Cobbo might be a shot.
Yeah, I thought about him too. But then, you know, it's also been a tale of two seasons for so many people.
Yeah.
Because Origin really shaped people. Like, I think of Ponga, and Ponga didn't make Origin, but came out of the Origin period a better player.
Yeah.
But then pre-Origin, if you're talking about centers, Campbell Graham's in there.
Yeah.
But was never the same after that injury.
No. Let's move on to centers. I think. My number one is Stephen Crichton.
Yep.
Again, this is why I'm saying the skill position, like these.
I wrote this team and he was the first player, and it annoys me so much. It annoys me.
Stephen Crichton. And my second pick was Dane Gagai. I thought it's been immense for Newcastle all year. It's been excellent.
Yeah. I actually would have gone Campbell Graham purely on start of season form. But I don't think, he was not doing enough in that team, but he was good in the position.
It was to round 12.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then, like, we barely heard from him again.
Yeah, I agree.
So, like, I think Gagai's been better for longer throughout the season. Katoni Staggs is another name that I thought of.
Yeah. Staggs has been good.
Yeah.
But it's hard. It is actually hard. Like, I think of Melbourne and
I don't think they're back line.
But I don't think anyone. Even Grant. Think Grant or Munster.
Yeah, like, I don't think Munster and Grant had great seasons.
No, not at all. Like, but you messaged me halfway through the year and you were like, how do you think Melbourne's doing this year? And I'm like, I don't think they're doing well. I didn't think they'd make the eight, but there they were. They're in the top four, but it's probably because of the quality of the rest of them. South's dropped off. The Roosters had the slow start. Cronulla, not great. Bulldogs never fired. You know, Parramatta never fired. Cowboys never made it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Okay. 5'8".
I had Cody, but he probably doesn't deserve it, but I don't know who gets it.
Yeah, like I
are you
probably
different?
Cody or Munster.
Yeah.
If it was team of the year, if it wasn't this system, I'd say Munster because one team made the eight and one team didn't. And I tend to lean towards players who are going to play finals football than teams who aren't going to play finals football.
Yeah.
Right. But at the start of the season, Cody did a lot.
So much.
A lot.
And even their back of season games.
Really, there aren't.
He was the reason they were in them because Latrell was hardly there.
There aren't really that many excellent 5'8s in the competition.
There are no excellent halves, Mike. This is why.
No, there are excellent.
No. But there aren't that many.
No.
And that's why.
No.
Look at them.
Well, I think the halfbacks, there's a lot of good halfbacks this year.
Yeah.
I think the 5'8 position is kind of almost a dying art.
It is because they're playing. It's basically a halfback on the left and a halfback on the right.
Yeah.
And that's why Cody gets so many raps because he's a genuine ball playing
six.
Half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, seven.
The one and only.
It's Nathan. It has to be Nathan.
Yeah. It has to be.
Yeah. Although he won't get it. You know why? Suspension. He missed time. No, he missed time. And it's going to be Sean Johnson.
Sean Johnson was actually in my name.
Sean Johnson will win Dally M Player of the Year, I think.
I would love that. I think that would be an outstanding story.
It would mean that Nathan doesn't get player of halfback of the year. But Sean Johnson will probably win the award.
Yep.
Okay. Props. I think there's two candidates and that's it.
Payne Haas.
Adam Fanua-Blake.
Yeah.
That's one and two. Payne Haas is actually a very strong chance of winning.
Well, he was charging. The Dally M
winner, player of the year as well.
Yeah.
Very strong chance.
But what happened? He got suspended.
He got injured? I think he missed two to three weeks. 2 to 3 weeks after Origin. Mm. Wasn't a huge amount.
Yeah. I agree with them, but even Hooker, I'm like.
Yeah. Well, Grant. Probably, I think Grant was Harry had a really strong start of the season. He was up there early on. We'll probably get it. I don't think Cook had a great season. Reece Robson was nowhere near as good as he was the year before. Blake Brayley was strong for the Sharks. Mitch Kenny was really good. But I just in terms of points, I don't see him getting.
You're thinking of.
He's not getting a 1, 2, or 3.
He's like a workhorse in that position.
Wade Egan has improved a lot this year. But again,
Brandon Smith could have picked up some in the back few rounds, but not enough.
His start of the season was not good enough.
It is underwhelming. Like it actually, when you break it down, it's kind of underwhelming.
Yeah.
It's not great. Second row, I had Liam Martin.
Yeah, I had Liam Martin and I had Nat Butcher.
Who's just been called up for the Kangaroos, I think.
Yeah, he has been. And, like, in a team where we struggled all year, he was just excellent.
Mm.
Absolutely excellent. And there were games where he was definitely our best on field in games that we won.
Yeah.
So he might have snagged a couple of points here and there.
Interesting. And then Locke.
Pat Carrigan.
Yeah.
I think as AEO has been good, but Pat Carrigan has had those games where it's like he's been the best lock this year, I think. Yep.
He reminds me, him and Reynolds remind me so much of Sam Burgess and Reynolds in 2014.
Mm.
It's actually incredible. But as Adam Reynolds said in an interview, Pat Carrigan has better teeth.
Tohu Harris is also another shout, who we mentioned before. It's just been excellent. Missed some time with injury, though, but has just been awesome all year long. There's actually some really good locks in the NRL at the moment.
Yeah. That's very crucial position now, the way it's blinking left and right.
Yeah.
Coach of the year, I have Andrew Webster.
I think it'll be Webster. It will be Webster. I think he was almost guaranteed it.
A lot of people probably fairly should. I actually think Ivan should really be in the conversation here because of what he's done.
You know,
I know your opinion on it. But the only reason I don't think Ivan should get it, and because Andrew Webster should, is because it's not a year where the top four is dominated by perennial preliminary finalists. If it was South, Melbourne, Penrith, and the Roosters, I'd be saying give it to Ivan.
Yeah.
But because of what Webster's done and how he's turned this team around, there's a very little expectation on them to turn this around.
I agree.
The Bulldogs were the one with all the hype about taking the ex-Penrith assistant. Webster's done an outstanding job. He has reinvigorated the club, the supporter base. He's brought Sean Johnson back in outstanding form. He has, I think, done a superb job, and I think he's a no-brainer for the position.
Yeah, I think you'll get it. The thing that he has done, he has brought out the best form in every single one of his players. That is so rare in coaches. So, so rare.
But I also think attitude, with the Warriors, especially after COVID, and we forget that even early last year, like 2022 season, I don't think they got back to New Zealand until round 18.
No.
Right? So this is their first full off season in about 3 or 4 years. And the attitude is just the huge difference in them. Like they never look defeated. They never really look like they've given up.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of resilience in them. And even in that Panthers game where you kind of know you're on a hiding to nothing. Like, your task is Saturday afternoon, first week of the finals, Penrith at Penrith, not Penrith at a big neutral stadium. And I think in that environment, even there, they didn't really look like they were giving up. They were just like, let's see what we can take out of this that's a positive.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the one other name is Kevin Walters, who've got the Broncos, as you know, everyone's got them and Panthers as heading to the grand final after this week. He's done an excellent job. There was pressure on him to start this season, given how they capitulated at the end of last year, but they look like a completely different team to that outfit. And just, you know, that first round of the finals against Melbourne is just like, all right, this team is genuine. This team can threaten Melbourne. I don't know if they will, but they have the potential to.
Yeah, and we forget how they started the year.
Yeah.
And I think you and I and many others completely downplayed that win at Penrith.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, that's one that they'll have in the back of the memory bank.
Yeah. Rookie of the year.
Yes. Your Rooster.
Sia Wong.
Yeah. Right?
That's who you picked.
Yeah.
I'm going Sunia Taruva.
Okay.
On the wing for Penrith.
Yeah, he's been great, but I've just really liked watching Wong.
I love Sia Wong. Only played 9 games, whereas Taruva has played
the whole season.
Has played the whole season. Has been excellent all year. And, you know, Brian To'o gets 230 meters a week.
Yeah.
They don't kick to him. They only kick to Taruva so that To'o doesn't, you know, have kick returns. So, like, he has been peppered with kicks all year, has been as safe as anything. Honestly, can't remember him making a mistake. He's been so good for them.
I can't even remember who was in that position before.
Taylor May.
Yeah, I know. But it's just like, how do they just keep churning them?
Exactly, right? And I think Taylor May might move to center next year and he's going to keep that wing spot.
Mm.
A couple others, Dream Buller.
Yeah.
Excellent for the Tigers.
Yeah, it's been so good for them.
But the Tigers are where the Tigers are. Jacob Preston was really amazing.
For Canterbury.
For Canterbury. They're probably the top three. Sunia Taruva for me. Just where Penrith are, what he's done all year has been consistent as anything. Looks like a genuine first.
It's almost the easiest way to introduce a rookie, though, isn't it? You just put him in a winning system and it just they never seem as exposed.
No.
And I remember when Wayne Bennett started at Souths and threw in like Totola and stuff like that.
Yep.
And it just seems so much easier when the team's winning and you just don't notice and they're not the scapegoat and it's just incredible.
Yeah.
Winning.
Now this one isn't an award on the night, but By of the year,
Reece Walsh.
Okay. Can I pick Adam Reynolds from last year?
Okay.
No. Reece Walsh, I think, is the answer. Yeah. Jermaine Hopgood was really good. Another really underrated pickup. And boy, they could have used him all year. And we mentioned him before, Charles Nicoll-Clockster.
Yeah.
Has been awesome for the Warriors all year. And the Raiders last year said, no, we're going with Xavier Savage as our fullback. There is no place for you in this team anymore.
Yeah.
And he was playing reserve grade for a lot of last year. And now he's playing in a preliminary final as a fullback who just came off one of his best games for the Warriors. Egg on their face for the Raiders. But he, you know, he's been an excellent, excellent buy.
Who's the worst buy of the year? I mean, other than Josh Hodgson.
It's Josh Hodgson.
I don't mean to be critical.
Brandon Smith turned it around. I think.
He was up there for a while.
He was up there for sure. I think that back end of the season really helped his cause. Reed Marty was not good.
No. Kick out.
Well, no, was that this year? That was injured. He's injured. It's a bit unfair.
Kick out, no, you're right. It is unfair.
Whereas Reed Marty played and just was not strong at all.
Yeah. Can I predict the worst buy for next year?
Sure.
Well, it's probably Jack Whiten. Jackson Paulo, honourable mention.
I will, yeah.
Matt Lodge.
Oh, I don't know if Lodge will play too much, given he's torn his ACL.
Mm.
But,
yeah.
I see a trend in Manly players that you're
By the year next year, Luke Brooks.
Interesting. I don't think we've seen by the year yet, but, yeah. Oh, Stephen Crichton, maybe.
Stephen Crichton, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, team lists. Should we get into it?
Let's do it.
Okay. So, Friday night, Penrith host the Storm. You know, this year and last year's prelims, it's been two seasoned teams in one prelim and two relatively new teams in another. Last year, Souths and Penrith and Eels Cowboys. This year, Warriors and Brisbane and Panthers Storm. Makes it like you just feel like the winner of the first one is going to win the next one. So Luai and Isaac Tago are both back on deck in a boost for the premiers. Luai has missed the past two matches after dislocating his shoulder. Cogger and Garner go back to the interchange while Hosking goes to the reserves. Tyrone Peachy to 18th man. Nathan Cleary reportedly suffered a finger injury at training on Monday, but has been named at fullback and is good to go. For the Storm, Jerome Hughes is back at halfback after returning from a calf injury. Xavier Coates remains sidelined, so Remus Smith retains his spot on the wing. Hughes' return sees Wishart slide back to the bench. He was really good.
He was
and
great.
Bronson Garlick goes to the reserves. Tui Kamakamika has been included in the run on side, and Tonu Mapea remains sidelined with a head cut.
First of all, don't know how likely Luai is to play. I know he's been named, but I think that's just as a precaution. I'd be shocked if he played 3 weeks out from dislocating his shoulder. Shocked.
I don't know if there's an urgency to it.
I don't think there is either. Cog has been excellent, even when he hasn't, even in Luai's absence. You have a look at Penrith's 18 to 20. Tyrone Peachy, Zach Hosking, Luke Summerton, Matt Eisenhoof. I've all played excellent in first grade all year and can't find a spot in this squad. It's ridiculous. For Melbourne, Jerome Hughes, I don't think will play. Cam Smith in commentary on Friday night after the game did not seem confident in his ability to play. I think Harry Grant will probably come off the bench again.
Yeah,
I think that really worked well. An 80-minute hooker is just too much, I think, in the NRL. The speed of the game now, it's too tough, especially the pressure.
You can really see it this year.
Yeah.
Like
the pressure on the hooker as well to always be there for that fast play of the ball.
Yeah.
Just it's too draining. And then you're constantly defending the middle, making 40 tackles. It's too tough. And I think, you know, Harry came on and he dominated the game.
Yeah. I'd love to see South do it with Cook next year.
Yeah.
Maybe they can experiment and play him in the centres. Who knows? I think Penrith win comfortably.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's like 34-8.
Both times they've versed each other this year. One of them was without Cleary. Remember, they were up 14-0, 12-0.
Yeah.
And then Penrith went on to win 34-17 or 16 or something like that. Like, it's the Penrith, but they are.
I think I've seen too much in Melbourne this year where they've been underwhelming to really think they can pull it together for this game.
Yeah, the other problem is, like, Melbourne have been that grinded-out team. Can't grind it out against Penrith.
No.
They're the one team. It's not going
to
work.
They just don't have the troops to do it.
No. And their forward pack's not strong enough.
And they have to be – you have to commend them because they've lost so much talent, but they're still in the final four.
Yeah,
so.
100%. I think, you know – There was reasons why there were questions on Melbourne this year. I just thought that their coaching would bring them over the edge, and you know they're a quality outfit week in, week out. They are missing just a couple forwards though, I think.
Yeah,
and especially against this forward pack, Leota and Fisher Harris, just every game set the standard and punch you in the mouth straight away, and it's just too hard to recover from. So, yeah, I think – and then you've got Nathan on the back of that.
Yeah.
His kicking game, it's just – it's deadly. And, you know, I thought Wishart did a really good job on the weekend, looked really strong.
And, yes, he is Rod Wishart's son for anyone that's a little bit older listening.
Yeah, he is. Still don't know if he's a seven. Don't quite know what position he is, but he filled in that position quite well.
Came out of rugby union. I don't know why. It just seems like play some position. I think it was like the swan dive try that did it for me. Okay, Saturday night, Broncos hosting the Warriors. So Brisbane have named the same 17 as a couple of weeks ago. So Jesse Arthurs remains the preferred left winger ahead of Corey Oates. Adam Reynolds and Pat Carrigan came through the Storm clash untroubled and will be playing in this one. And the same 17 that got for the Warriors, the same 17 that got the job done last week have been retained. And Sean Johnson is expected to play after pulling up well last week. Josh Curran and Nia Corea are both named and expected to play despite suffering injuries last week. Pompey is the only player in the squad who has been on the field for every minute of all their games this year.
Yeah. It's going to be a battle of the number sevens. Who can take control of the game early? And then it's going to, you know, also be the tens and thirteens. Fanua Blake, Haas, Carrigan, Harris. Which one gets on the front foot first? That they're the three key positions for mine.
Yeah.
And then if Brisbane start rolling, that's when Reece Ross injects himself.
Yeah. There's been a lot of talk lately in the rugby league universe about halfbacks, their development, when they hit their sweet spot, when they come into their own. And it's really interesting. So, obviously, Reynolds, Sean Johnson in this one. Reynolds and Sean Johnson played each other in a grand final in the under-20s, the Holden Cup, in 2010.
Yeah.
And it's, you just look and it's like 13 years later and these are two of like, what, the five or six halfbacks that just completely dominate this game. And that, like, look at that longevity and the value in having a quality halfback. And I think the only thing that's really missing from Sean Johnson's resume is the premiership, I think. Like, he's been so good, but just doesn't have that.
Yeah.
But I don't expect him to get it this year, and I think...
I don't think he'll... I think
Brisbane will win.
But, yeah, like, this has definitely been Sean Johnson's best year of his career.
Yeah.
The progression that he has made under Andrew Webster to become that number seven that can dominate a game without... You know, Sean Johnson of the past was the flashy stuff. It's not that anymore. It's the perfect kick placement. It's the putting your forwards in the right holes and setting up everything else. That's what Sean Johnson's done so well this year. It's what Adam Reynolds has done his whole career, right?
Yeah.
That's the battle. That's why I'm so intrigued by this matchup. I think Brisbane win. I think it'll be a close game though. I really do. It's going to be interesting, though, not having that New Zealand fan base behind you going to Brisbane. There will be the thing is, anyone who turns up to that game who isn't a Broncos supporter will automatically everyone who isn't a Warriors, Storm, or Broncos fan, like of those respective teams, is going for the Warriors in this final series now.
Yeah, I think any club. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like. Any club. Whereas, like, you know, if, say, it was the Roosters instead of the Warriors, no one's going for the Roosters, right?
I'm not.
Yeah.
I can assure you.
Probably go for the Broncos, to be honest, because they're the ones who haven't had the success in the longest time.
Yeah. So, a long time.
Mm.
Okay. There we go. I think it's going to be a Panthers Broncos 1-2 grand final.
Yeah, that hasn't changed since week one of the finals.
Mm.
Yeah.
There you go.
I think it'll be a good grand final. Still think Penrith win.
Yeah.
And I still think Penrith win. Actually, I think Penrith win convincingly. I can't see anyone touching this team.
I'm with you. The Wolf You Feed. I'm progressing through it.
Yeah. Any good?
Excellent. So good. I'll have more to say
next week. When you read it, do you hear Wayne's voice?
I'm reading it. I don't have the audiobook.
Okay.
But, yeah, there are aspects of it.
Okay.
Mm. There you go.
I like it. All right.
Who are you tipping, by the way? Definitely Panthers. Definitely Broncos.
Panthers, Broncos, Bears.
Bears. That is the other thing I want to say. New South Wales knock-on effect, New South Wales Cup is on this Sunday, 24th of September at 3 p.m. Souths play Norths. Now, this is one for the history books. We're all very excited by this. If you're a Souths fan, it's their first reserve grade grand final since 1983. Yes, that's right. We have something about 40-year droughts. Souths looking for one here. It's a team that's got some familiar faces, Blake Taff, Pete Mamazelos, a couple of the names for Souths. I saw there's been a couple of scratchings this afternoon for the Roosters, Mike, or for the Bears, who, of course, one of the Roosters' feeder teams for this year, and then next year that comes to an end, I'm pretty sure. So,
Our bench, focused on bench, is pretty stacked.
I think
there's like four Bens on our bench.
Yeah, there are. But Jake Turpin has not been cleared to play, and he's out. And Paul Momorowski is also out. So, yeah, it will be exciting. A couple of names in the Roosters lineup include Terrell May.
Actually?
Fletcher Baker. Yeah. So it's a really... It's a really interesting lineup, and I'm excited for Blake Taff, who gets to play in another grand final for the club before he goes to the Dogs.
Nice.
So, yeah, all is not lost for a Souths fan.
That's Sunday, Arvo, and I think NRLW, it's Roosters Knights again, I believe, and then Broncos Sharks, I think, which is this weekend as well. So that the final series for the NRLW kicks off as well.
Yep. All very exciting and all culminating on grand final day.
It should be good.
So it's Knights, Broncos, and Roosters Titans.
That's it.
Yeah. All right.
We'll leave it there. Grand final preview next week.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not Broncos, Panthers, I'll be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
But we then get to praise one of these other two teams.
Yeah.
That could be
fun. That's what I'm looking forward to.
That could be fun. All right. As always, please don't forget to rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. And one last thing, Emmanuel, how good is rugby league?
How good is rugby league?
Thanks, guys.